This segment of the series, we will talk about the issues that come up in regards to competition, to unlawful encroachment versus healthy competition. Of course, competition is a very important part of the marketplace, but I believe that this segment of the series is a very extremely important one, in that it brings to light a very important clarification in regards to Hilchos Choshen Mishpat and monetary halacha as a klal. We all know when we have questions in Or Chaim and Yeridea and Hilchos Shabbos, the first thing you do, you pick up a phone, you ask a shayla. We know that we don't really understand the fundamentals of Shabbos. We don't understand the fundamentals of kashrus. We've heard words like not bar not, which sound like Kabbalistic formulas to us. So if we have a question, we pick up a phone, we ask a shayla, because we know we have no shaychas, we know we have no connection to the halachos, and unless we really learned them intricately, we ask shaylas. When it comes to monetary halacha, to business practice, to business halacha, there's a little bit of misunderstanding. We understand that we're integral parts of the business world, and we know exactly how business functions, and we basically feel like we have the right and wrong in monetary halacha under control. We know we've been around, we know what's acceptable, what's considered unethical, and it's just a matter of trying to adhere to those ethics and to those fundamentals. But the truth is, which we will point out, that there are many concepts in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat and monetary halacha which are really foreign to Western culture and to secular society. There's obvious and blatant differences between the secular minhagim and customs and lahavdil the Torah, the halachos of Choshen Mishpat. Parenthetically, I once heard a very interesting quote that really, I think, sums up the entire Western society, and based on this, we understand the fundamental differences of why some sensitivities are sensitive in Hilchos Choshen Mishpat and the Torah, but not necessarily are they understood. I once heard a quote from a man who spent his life amassing a huge fortune, a huge portfolio, and he said, "Life is a game. Money is just a way of keeping score." So when one looks at money and the amounts of wealth that he's put together, as koichi v'oitzem yadi, my strengths and my talents is what put this all together. So really it's like a game, and it's a fierce marketplace, and we try to do whatever we can to reach the top, and we'll step on anybody who we have to in order to reach that goal. That goal is to get as many clients, as many deals as we possibly can throughout our life, and the one who amasses the biggest portfolio, he's the winner, and he won the game. Lahavdil in the Torah, it's obviously just the opposite. We have an obligation to our families to feed and to support, but any wealth that's amassed is just amassed to be able to serve Hashem, and we know that it's clearly. It's stipulated and dictated to us exactly which deals are ours and which real estate we're supposed to be owning and which clients are going to be considered ours, bias plainly l'plainly. We know everything is predestined from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And it's the same Avinu Shebashamayim that's supporting all of us and all of our families. And Hashem, the Rabbeinu Shalom has enough. His resources are unlimited. His client base is obviously has no bounds, and he has enough deals to supply us more than we can even handle. And we have to, it's for this reason that halacha is very sensitive to going after a deal, a client, a specific venture. We have to just make sure that part of our diligence, when we try to figure out, you know, if the fundamentals of a specific deal works, if there's going to be a high return on the investment, one of the parts of the diligence of the areas that we have to uncover is this deal predestined for us? Is this a building? Is this a purchase, a client that the Rabbeinu Shlom is sending our way? And it's obvious that it's very hard to do such a thing. How do we try to uncover? How do we understand? which deals for us. Obviously, we don't just roll over and just wait for and play dead and wait for business to come our way. We have to do our shtadlus. And I'll just read the Chazon Ish in a kuntres in Emunah Mitocha, and he says when it comes to competition, and we will soon learn in the subsequent shiurim in the subsequent classes exactly how to compete and the Torah way of as to how fierce and how much a person is allowed to go after clients. But in a way, the Chazon Ish lays down a very fundamental yisoid that all these halachas, all these sensitivities which we will discuss, it's not, I'll read the lashon, it's not al tzad ha-metzius. It's the fact that if you're from a different city, you're not allowed to maybe open up a store in a city that competes in a way that'll put the other store owner out, says the Chazon Ish, that's not because the metzius is that if your competitor is going to come in, you're obviously going to end up with less. El al tzad chiyuv hishtadlus, that I'm allowed to tell a neighboring store that's about to open that al pi halacha, the halacha dictates that you are not allowed to open such a store, is not because I'm thinking that if I send him away, if he comes, he'll take my clients, and if I send him away, he won't take my clients, because we know that our panos is predestined, like we mentioned. That just that is our chiyuv hishtadlus. We have an obligation to be mishtadel and to try our hardest to make a parnasa, and part of our shtadlus is that if there's somebody who's encroaching on our business, if we have a time, if we have a claim to that person, we are allowed to bring it up and tell them, please find another place to open up such a store, because that's our obligation as a shtadlus. And Baruch Hashem, we're able to know which the guidelines of which deals are coming our way, which deals are ours, by following the halachos that are set forth for us in the guidelines of the Shulchan Aruch. We were able to uncover and to realize which what parnassus really has our name on it, so to speak. In this segment of the series, we will discuss five concepts in the five subsequent shiurim, and each concept might be a little bit foreign. So it's something you might not have heard of that such a concept exists. And I'd like in this introductory shiur to just put forth these five fundamental concepts in regards to competition, and I'll explain the background and what it means, and then in the subsequent shiurim, in the subsequent classes, we will expound on each one. The first concept that we find in halacha is called ma'arufyo shel chaveroi. Ma'arufyo. The word ma'arufyo is actually a derivative of the pasuk. Yarev kamata likchi. Hashem says that my Torah is streams like matar, like dew or like rain. That just like rain comes in a steady stream, so too if somebody has a steady stream of clients, a steady client base, it's called a ma'aruf yishal chaveira. He has clients that have been coming to him for 20 years. He's been being supported and being patronized by specific clients for a long time. And somebody else opens up a business and now is trying to develop his client base. And obviously, to develop a new business, one has to try to go after new clients and try to offer them better deals. And when a person encroaches and goes after clients that are already committed, so to speak, even though there's no element of kinyan, there's no element of any contractual relationship, there's no agreement that I will stay as your client, but the concept of marufia is one that if somebody has been patronizing a specific establishment for in the past, and you go after it, that's called marufia. Now this is obviously, of the five that we will discuss, this is the most lenient one of all five, and it's for the reason that we just mentioned, because the mere fact that somebody has been coming and using a specific telephone service provider or a specific insurance broker for many years does not dictate that he will continue. He might go elsewhere. He might look to other options. There's always new deals and new realities that come up in the business world. And the mere fact that he came to me yesterday does not mean that he has any obligation. I don't own him. I don't have any kinyan. I don't have any acquisition on his business. And yet there is a sensitivity, but it's a very lenient sensitivity. We'll discuss it in the subsequent shiurim, exactly when it's prohibited and when it's mutter, when it's permitted. But the basic concept is, Ya'arif kamata likhi, ma'aruf, you're taking away somebody's steady stream that he's relying on and that he's had in the past and going after clients of somebody else. The second concept that we will discuss is the concept of Yoyrid le'emunasoi shel chaveroi. This is already one step further. It's going into somebody else's territory. Somebody else has a store on a specific street, and he's the baker of that area. He's the provider of a certain service or certain goods of a specific area, and somebody else wants to come in and open a store right next to in the same proximity, in the same territory of the existing store, and obviously it's going to have a adverse effect on his business, on his bottom line, and he won't be able to perform and produce and bring home a panasa like he was used to in the past. This is called Yoyrid Le'onasa Shel Chaveiro. That's the second concept. And in this concept, it's basically based on a Gemara in Bava Basra and Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis, that the Gemara says that Just to summarize in very short the parameters, the most blatant parameter of this concept is that if a person lives in the same town and is a taxpayer of that same city, then he's allowed to open a store even if it will affect and minimize his business. However, if he's from out of town, then the person has the ability, the existing store owner has the ability to ask him not to open the store, and he has the right to say, move further away out of my territory. Now, even in the case where the person lives in the city, there's one baker in the city and he's making a living, and another person wants to open a competing store. So in that case, he's allowed to compete. We'll see exactly the parameters. But the Gemara asks that, why do we say that you're allowed to compete? There's a brisa that is quoted as follows, and I'll quote the Gemara: Marchikim etzudas hadag min hadag kimolei ritzas hadag. A fisherman must further himself, further his net away from any existing net, any existing fisherman's trap that's in a specific territory. And the Gemara compares the two. On the one hand, we're saying that Bar Masa, that if he's a person who lives in the city, he's allowed to open up, even though it will have an adverse effect on the business of the existing establishment. And on the other hand, we say, Marchik Mitzudas Hadag, that we tell the fisherman to go away, to further yourself, and not to go very close to the existing fisherman. And the Gemara says that Dag is different, that by a fisherman there's a difference because it's the yoyev isira, because he already has put the bait in front and in front of the dog, in front of the fish, and therefore you have to further yourself away. And there's three basic concepts which throughout this part of the segment of the series we'll have to always come back to and analyze. Is this compared to the mitzudas dog? Is this similar to a fisherman, or is it similar more to a store owner? In order to understand that properly, we have to really understand what is significant about the fisherman that creates the stringency that we have to move away from the fisherman's net. There are three basic ideas in the Rishonim that are discussed and brought down in Halacha. One is the Shita of Rashi. Rashi says that the significance of the fisherman is that he zeroed in on a market and he's batuach shil kadenu. The Havali command the Matal Yodeh. He is certain that he knows exactly where the fish is, and he went to that specific place, and the fish will definitely end up in his net unless this other person spreads his net, because he cornered the market. He knows the market. He went in there. He zeroed in on a specific market, and that market will definitely end up in his net unless this person ruins his plans. Now, again, the fish are not in the net yet. They're not yet trapped. However, even though they're not trapped, but since they're for sure will be coming there, says Rashi, that's a place where you have to further yourself away. In the store, on the other hand, it's not 100% that these people would come, and therefore you're allowed to open up a store and try to get as many customers as you want, as you can, and compete provided that you live in the city. The Ramban says that no, you need one level up. Instead of just having needing the fact that they'll definitely end up in the net, says the Ramban, no, they're already inside of the net. The reason why Doug is different by a fisherman, it's different because it's talking about that the fish are already entrapped in the net, but they can still come out. They're not closed. There's no actual kinyan. There's no actual acquisition, because since they can come out, it's a chatzur she'ina mishtameres. It's not, there was no act of acquisition, but they're already entrapped inside of the net, and therefore by you coming and putting your net in, there's a very big possibility that they'll go out of that net and go into your net. So seemingly the Ramban would be of the opinion that the mere fact that it's definite that they will be coming is not enough. You need that they're already inside of the net, and that's the only time that there would be this prohibition. The Rima Gash says a third reason, which we'll touch on for 1 minute, and the third difference is, he says that in the case of the net, and the fisherman is talking about, where by you coming, you're going to be taking his entire parnasa, you're going to be taking his entire business and destroying his entire business, and that's when there's an isser. And we'll get to all these points later, but what's important to know is that there's a third concept called marchikin metzudas hadag, that it's different than yoreh l'nasa shechaveri. It has similarities, that you're both zeroing in and going after the same customer base, but this is one that's considered usser, prohibited, and yoreh l'nasa shechaveri is one that's permitted, because since both people live in the same city, you would be allowed to do that unless he came from outside the city. The fourth concept, which we will talk about, is based on a Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Nun Tes, and that is called, referred to in Halacha and in the Gemara as Ani Hamahapech Bicharara. Ani, a poor person who's running after a charara, a cookie, a biscuit, and Boachav and Notloi, is Nikra Rasha. If a person is running after, he's running after a certain find, a certain item, and somebody else comes in, jumps in, and grabs it away before he has a chance to get it, he's Nikra Rasha. There's no monetary choshen mishpat iser to do it, and Bezdin will not undo what he has done. However, a person who goes and jumps after something else that somebody is already engaged in pursuing, actively pursuing a specific item, somebody else grabs it away again, something that Western culture would not fathom. Till he gets it, even though he started running after it, why should that stop me from going after the same object? The answer is because the halacha says that once somebody is at a certain level of engagement, a certain level of pursuit of a specific item, that Hashem already has sent it his way, and it becomes his deal. And until he backs off of it, you are not allowed to encroach and go and try to wrench the deal away from the pursuer. So again, that's Ani Hamahapech Becharara, and the person who would try to get the deal away is considered a Rasha. The fifth concept, and this we will close, and we will again review all these concepts one by one in the subsequent shiurim and classes. The fifth concept is based on a Gemara in Gittin Daf Nun Tes Amud Beis, and it talks about an Ani Amanakef Beroish Hazayis. There's an Ani, a poor person who finds a tree, an olive tree, that's hefker, it doesn't belong to anybody. He climbs up the tree with tremendous effort. And as a matter of fact, it's the amount of effort that the Gemara in Bava Metzia says, based on the pasuk of Ve'elov Hu Noiseis Nafshoi, that when a person climbs up a tree on a scaffold, he's actually risking his life. And he goes up to the olive tree and he starts ripping down the olives, cutting off the olives and shaking the branches in a way that the olives will drop to the ground. He does not pick up the olive, because then he would be acquiring the olive. It belongs to Hefker, it's ownerless. But rather he shakes the tree and the olives fall down, and there's a very clever individual on the bottom who takes a basket and starts picking up all the olives that the Ani was menakef, the Ani was chopping down. And that the Gemara says that even though there's no gezel min ha-Torah, it's not considered thievery, it's not theft, because this ani did not make an acquisition. It's still, these olives are still ownerless. But midrabbanan, the rabbanan, the rabbis have instituted that such an acquisition by the fellow on the bottom is considered gezel midivrehem, and although Bezdin will not ask him to return the gezel, and Bezdin will not take it away from him, but it's what he did is considered rabbinic thievery. It's theft of midrabbanan. So you know, we'll get into again all the different stipulations and tnoim, how much tircha is necessary. Again, this is all we're talking about when somebody puts a lot of effort into producing and uncovering something that's hefker and making accessible something that's ownerless and somebody else jumping in and take it away, and that's considered gezel midrabbanan. So just to, in summation, we have discussed five different concepts in halacha. The first concept is called ma'arufya, a steady stream of customers, taking away a client base. Yorid l'nasei shechaver is opening a competing store and a competing venue of selling items that will have an adverse effect on the existing establishments. But we're not talking about taking a steady client base, but rather going into competition with an existing store. The third concept we discussed is marchikim et sudas hadag. When we have a fisherman's net, it has different implications than a regular store. It's more chomer. There's more reason to make an isser, to prohibit going and getting that fish that's already entrapped in the net or definitely on its way to get to going to that fisherman's net. And in that scenario, it would be prohibited to step in. We discussed aniyam mahapech b'charara, when somebody is pursuing a deal, pursuing a specific acquisition, and he's in a certain level of negotiations, one is not allowed to go and try to get the other man's deal. And the fifth and final concept that we discussed is aniyam nakeh b'reish hazayis. There's a lot, tremendous amount of effort was put in by the ani, risking his life, putting in risks and money and time and effort into producing a specific ownerless item, and then somebody else goes ahead and jumps in to try to wrench it away, and that is considered gezel midrabbanan.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Orthodox Union in conjunction with the Beis Havad Institute of Talmudic Law, the Center for the Study and Practice of Monetary Halacha.